I'm Robin Crane, and this is the Growing Your Financial Business the Woman's Way podcast. Listen, I was a financial advisor for over a decade, and I got so sick of the old archaic strategies that your grandpa used to get clients. What the industry teaches today is still so outdated and just doesn't work anymore. So I had to find a better way for myself, and then I got obsessed with sharing these how-tos with other women like me. The stuff I teach doesn't require giving up your life, your sanity, or your family time. I want women like you to have it easier than I had it, so you can thrive in the industry. I've now helped thousands of women grow their financial businesses to multiple six figures, some even seven figures per year. So on this podcast, you're going to get an inside look at how they did it so you can do it too. Let's dive into the show.
Welcome back. It's Robin Crane here with Felicia Searcy. So Felicia is a four-time award-winning transformational coach and international speaker, and I'm really excited to have her here because she's going to talk about the secrets that let you leapfrog your struggles and disappointments to living big. And I can tell you already, just from a couple minutes having her here before we started recording, my just turned three-year-old daughter came in who has had a fever and sick and wanting mommy, and she's been very patient with me. So I can just tell, very sweet soul right here that I have with me.
Thank you
for being here. Yeah, it's absolutely good energy already. And we've probably said, 10 words to each other. So, tell me a little about your journey and how you got to this, going from the struggles and disappointment to living big. Tell me a little about how you got there and what that means to you.
Yeah, so myself, like so many, it's such a familiar story that, the environment I grew up in wasn't the most supportive. I deeply love and appreciate my parents, and, my dad's no longer on this side of things, but both of them struggled with mental illness and addiction. And so it was a very dark environment, lots of violence. And so the reason I bring that up is because, when we're at a really vulnerable stage in our life, we get wired in relating to the world, a way of relating to ourselves and a way of relating to the world. And what I took from that, not that it was imposed, but what I took from it was that the world was unsafe, not to expect too much, keep my head below the radar, not to make too much of a wave, and to be so tuned into the needs of others. And it robbed me of being able to really hear what it was that I really wanted. And I really reached the point where I began to wonder if I even wanted to stay on this side of things, that I was 22 years old and there was just such desperation. And what I love about those moments for people, if they're able to be open, is that there's a moment when we get cracked open and we become accessible to a different way of being. We become accessible to a different way of thinking. And it was at this point in my life that I got introduced to what many people call universal law, and an understanding that there truly is a life force energy at work in and through every single one of us that is eager for us to wake up to who we really are created to be, and that there are these immutable, invisible laws that govern our results. And when I discovered that and I applied it, it's like, that scene in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy walks out of the black and white, the tornadoes twirling around and the house lands.
Yeah.
It's all black and white. And she walks out into a technicolor world. That's what it felt like. I walked out of my black and white basement into my technicolor world. And I noticed that it truly was a system, that it wasn't that I was lucky or chosen or, born that way. I discovered a spiritual success system, a paint-by-number spiritual success system that allowed me to fundamentally transform every single area of my life. And I realized that this was too valuable to hold on to myself. And I have really dedicated the last 20-something years to bringing this spiritual success system to people in order for them to unlock their power. Because when we live from that state of awareness, this is our biggest difference. This is the way that we make our biggest contribution and impact. So that's what brought
me here. I love it. So, and going back a step, when you said like you were contemplating living, what did you say on this side? So you were contemplating.
Things.
Does that mean like you were considering taking your own life? Is that what you mean? Yep. That's a very, see, you can tell you've been doing this for 20 years. It's a very positive way of saying I was considering taking my own life. Like that's pretty, like you said, desperation. I mean, that's pretty severe to say that. So what was it that, what were you exposed to? I'm just kind of curious, what was that specific thing, that first thing that kind of pulled you out and got you to the Technicolor, you know, side of things?
Yeah. So the very first thing that I became exposed to was a whole system of understanding what was going on with my parents. Mm. And I got exposed to an idea that I truly could create a relationship with this life force energy in a way that served me. And so I got exposed to a spiritual movement. It's called New Thought. I got exposed to writers like Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Deepak Chopra, you know, Thomas Troward back, you know, 100 and so years ago, Ernest Holmes, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore.
Wow. So you kind of just became this lifelong learner. Like you got exposed to this idea. And then it sounds like you got kind of geeky about like, holy crap, this is real. How can I learn more, grow more, and kind of expand my life because this is all real and possible? That's amazing. I think that says a lot about you and just like the type of person. And I think a lot of the listeners are similar where it's like, you know, they go down that rabbit hole of becoming, we call it in my community, we call it like the becoming, right? It's like you start to become, like you realize that when you show up differently and who you are is actually going to determine your future, your financial future, your wealth, your being, your health, all the things. And I think for me, it's always that dance of like, but how? Like how do I do that? Because I believe all of that, like 1,000,000%. Like I believe all of that. And then for some reason I'm still human and like I run those patterns and like I get mad at myself. I had like such like the silliest things that like when you know these things that focusing on stuff I don't know, that's like, doesn't serve you. You know that it's like, this is not where I want to focus, but sometimes like getting, like shaking it off is really difficult. Like I had a couple things happen that were just like the littlest things. One was that my next door neighbor, she in the past has been, she's been, let's call it grumpy with me or my family because of the dogs. And we've had one dog, like the whole time we've lived here, very small dog. And once she messaged me and she's like, I can't prove it, but I, you know, there's poop in my yard and you're the only, you know, you guys are the only people in the neighborhood who doesn't put your dog on the leash. And I was like, oh my God, I'm the worst. What have I done? You know, like I think, you know, and then yesterday we got this, my oldest daughter, we just kind of inherited two more pets because it doesn't matter why, but we took on my stepdaughter's pets. So we have now two dogs and a cat. But again, I was like I didn't have the bigger dog on the leash, which I always do. Like ever since the conversation, I've been doing it. And then I had her in the backyard for a second. And then of course she wasn't on a leash and walked up to the other dog. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, uh-huh. And like, I knew it's such a silly thing, but like, what did I do instead of like saying, like, this woman has issues, clearly like she needs to get over it. Like, cause I know, but I just kept beating myself. Why didn't I put the dog on the leash? Why didn't I do that? I knew it was going to upset. I knew I shouldn't have done that, you know? And I'm like, this is so silly. Will I remember, Tony Robbins says, you know, will you remember this in 10 years? I'm like, well, I even remember it in a month. Probably not. Like who cares? But I just kept beating myself up. And like, I just felt this, like, just let it go. And I'm like singing, let it go, let it go. You know, just let it go. I'm like, come on, anything that's going to let me let it go. But that was one of the examples of something that I couldn't shake, knowing that it was so silly. And I felt like it really kind of hurt my day. I mean, it probably only took an hour or two, but like, why couldn't I shake it in 5 minutes? Like knowing that, like, and this is just, and then the bigger things that happened in my career, in my life, in my business, and with someone not, you know, being upset about things like can really affect me, but just the fact that it was something so small, I was like, just really contemplating this, like, my gosh, how can I let this go? So I guess my question back to you is like, again, that's an example of something so small that's like so irrelevant to some degree, but like, how do we bridge that when we know focusing on the positive, the laws of attraction, laws of increase, laws of polarity, like all these things exist if anyone knows that stuff, but to step into the knowing and letting go of the doubt, the self-doubt, the self-destruction, the beating yourself up, like that's a big, heavy weighted question, but just tell us all the answers because I need it.
And 30 seconds or less.
In 30 seconds or less. 20. Yes, yes. On your marks.
So first of all, I so appreciate your vulnerability and your awareness, right? And this is the journey to match, you know, who we are today to what it's seeking to express through us. So in a nutshell, the process, because this is important. First of all, to understand that we live and move and have our being in a field of responsive energy. We live in an energy field that's creative, that's responsive, that's generative. And I love that quantum physics is proving that there are ways of unformed energy hanging out, what they're calling superposition, that is then becomes responsive to what we predominantly mentally rehearse in our imagination. And charged with our feelings, which becomes the organizing pattern for this energy and creates our results. Go back to what I shared in terms of how I was raised, that I was raised with a pattern of unworthiness, and somehow there must be something wrong with me. And so that becomes my identity. You know, what you're talking about, the beingness, right? That we all come to this with an identity. When I say come to this, we come to this next iteration. We come to this desire. You know, the desire to build out a business is a dream. And we start with a certain identity. Understand that the dream, the desire, the purpose of it is actually not to achieve that goal. It informs you who you are, what you are to discover about yourself. So when we have a desire and we are where we currently are, everything unlike where we're going and who we're becoming has got to rise up for release and for patterning, because those are the things that can't come with us. Like for me, one of the things that I've really had to drill down on was feeling like I was being deprived when somebody else experienced good. That when I saw somebody else succeed, there would be a knot inside of me that would get activated. It's like, oh my God, why are they getting it? Why am I not? And what's wrong with me? And I realized that I couldn't bring that with me in order to really live into the level of success that I'm being called to live into. So the process of that is, number one, to have such compassion for yourself, for yourself, right? Because that pattern served. At some point, that pattern of being, you know, and for you, Robin, and your, you know, the awareness and your vulnerability of sharing, the pattern of being hypervigilant to what other people are thinking, somewhere along the line that served. As you're moving into this even more amazing being that you are, it's no longer serving, but there's that in you that doesn't know that, right? And for me, there was that in me that didn't trust that if I didn't make sure that I wasn't the best, the golden child, not because of an ego thing, but just simply in order to be able to earn the right to be able to belong, then something horrible was going to happen to me. When that feeling rises up, the process that I've worked and I now share with the people that I have the honor of working with, number one, notice it, which is what you did, to notice it. Number two, to extend such compassion to that part of you, and to actually thank that part of you for serving you up to this point. Then number three, ask that part what it needs in order to let it go. Because there's something inside of us that thinks being this way is going to get us something that we need. It's not, I don't find it necessarily, so necessary to go back and try to figure out where it came from. It's more important, because my sense is your listeners are so self-aware. I mean, you have a sense of where your patterns came from and, you know, what the origins are. Now you want to create an environment where that part of you feels safe to lay it down and pick up a new way of being. And in the beginning, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be awkward because you don't have evidence that it works. You don't have evidence that if you just simply allow your neighbor to be who she is and give her the dignity of her own discomfort without feeling responsible for trying to fix it for her, you don't have evidence that that's going to work necessarily to the degree that you've embodied it. And so when those feelings rise up, you know, on the occasion that a feeling will rise up for me and I'll see somebody succeed at something that I've been trying to do for a while and just hasn't worked, to step back and to offer myself compassion, to ask myself in that moment, to ask yourself, what is it that I need? I need reassurance that I'm going to be okay. I need reassurance that I matter. I need reassurance that I'm worthy. It's like, okay, so then giving myself that in the moment, most importantly, connecting into the stream of divine energy that created you, and remembering who you really are as this amazing divine being that's here by divine appointment, that your dream is your divine assignment. And then to ask, and here's the master move, to ask, who do I want to be in this moment? Even if not all of me is coming along, who do I want to be in this moment? I want to be a woman who is able to allow my neighbor to be who she is and not take on responsibility for her. For me, I want to be the woman who celebrates the good of others, knowing that it's evidence of what's possible for me. And even if I don't feel it, there are actions that align with it, because these are the actions that align with who your dream is asking you to be. And so it may be, thank you for your feedback. I appreciate it. And I'm making changes to, as I heard your feedback, and then to yourself, to keep bringing yourself back to center of knowing who you are as a worthy, deserving being, and letting go of responsibility for the experience that the other person's having. And the mastery is to keep bringing you back. Even if you don't feel it right away, you keep bringing it back. And here's the thing, you know, I shared that my career, a couple of careers ago, right? My degrees are in speech therapy. And I love when I studied neuroscience, that at the end of every dendrite, there's a cup. There's a little cup at the end of every nerve ending. Okay. And the nerve impulses literally drop into this cup until it tips and then activates the next nerve. Now, we have no idea where that cup is in terms of being full, but we know if we stop doing something, we're going to stop filling it up. It's the same thing with working with a new practice, working with an affirmation, working with a truth, working with a belief, working with cultivating and generating a feeling. It may feel like it's not working, but the more you're able to rehearse who you want to be and what you want to know is truth in that moment, the more you're filling that cup up, and then boom, all of a sudden it looks like out of the blue, it shifted and you've shifted and something's changed.
So you're saying the goal is to fill the cup up and tip it to, it's like a higher level.
Yeah.
Got it. And then how do you do that again?
Well, exactly what you were doing. It's, you know, what do I know to be true in this moment? Mm-hmm. What do I need to offer myself to support myself? You know, in your case, it may be praying for your neighbor, all the things that you would want for you, you want for her, even if you don't necessarily feel like it in the moment. So it's everything that you do, Robin, in terms of knowing what you know to be true for yourself. It's the repetition and it's the conscious decision to own it for yourself long enough and sustained enough for it to literally rewire your physiology as you're coming into harmony with the desire, with the dream that's seeking you. We can have anything that we're in harmony with. Our work is to come into harmony with it, and exactly what you talk about, what you said earlier about becoming that person.
Right.
And it's the rehearsal of that, especially in those very real, seemingly mundane human moments, right?
Yeah. So let me pause a second, because there was so many golden nuggets in there. So one thing I just want to make sure the listeners, if you're wondering like, well, how is this relevant to growing my business? I will say, and Lisa Nichols, I don't know if you're familiar with Lisa Nichols, but she says your business growth is, it can only go as far as your personal growth, right? And that if you're not where you want to be, it's all about you actually working on yourself. As much as I give the strategies to growing your business, like it's all about you becoming like, you said about, you mentioned identity, right? It's like, yeah, we're at this identity and it's like holding this identity. We will can only have so much and being this person who we are. And like you said, it has served us or we wouldn't have done it because we're survival creatures. We are just trying to survive. We're not trying to thrive. Like the part of our brain, the amygdala, right? It's just our lizard brain. It's just designed for us, fight or flight, like keep us safe. And then, but to become the person that's going to attract all the things that you want means like a shift of an identity, because who you are is going to, like you said, there's the harmony. I would also say that's the vibration, right? Yeah. Of what you attract and all that. And then I always go to like, cause I'm a very logical person as much as I believe in all the stuff, but then it's like, yeah, I get it. But how? So what you just said, you said, number one, notice it. So, and that's, there's been so many learnings I've had over the last year working with this woman, Kizma, and prosperity coach, like just working on myself and just noticing things, but also feeling the things, like noticing what is it and actually naming those things. And Brené Brown says, what did she say? It's something like, if you don't name your emotion, it'll eat you alive.
Yeah. Right?
So it's like, oh, that's anger, or that's disappointment. Or, you know, it's like, I'm beating myself up about, again, I think it's such a silly example, but I think it's the little things that actually affect us. And sometimes the bigger things, it might affect us more, it might affect us less, but it's like, it's easy to pretend that didn't bother me and just go on with my day. And instead, you know, maybe a year ago, I would have just been like, oh, whatever, screw you, you know, and almost like in that, like when you didn't say, okay, let it all go and just think your neighbor sucks and you're amazing. You were like, pray for her. Love her, like send her, you know, compassion after you send it to yourself, but notice it. And I think noticing it means like, what am I feeling right now?
Yeah.
And not judging yourself. Cause my tendency is to immediately judge myself. Oh, why didn't I just do that? How come I didn't put her on the leash? That would have been so easy. Like I knew I should have put her on the leash. I always put her on the leash. Of course, the one time I didn't put her on the leash is the time that she goes up to her in her face and like, whatever. And I'm just like, oh, if I only had not done that. But the great thing is like, everything's a learning. So good thing I did that, because that was a blessing. That was a lesson. That was a learning. And knowing that those little things still bother me, to be like, oh, apparently I'm not over this. I still care about what people think. I do judge myself and I do, you know, so it's like, there's a lot of thoughts, like probably thousands, a lot of them probably the same thoughts, but like thousands of thoughts about that are, you know, negative about ourselves and who we are because of one little silly thing. So notice it. And I would say, you know, understand like, what is that feeling? And then instead of judging yourself, you said compassion. Number two, compassion, have compassion for yourself. Thank that part of you. It's like, wow, you know what, Robin, like the fact that you care about somebody else, like enough that it would bother you that you're going to beat yourself up means that you, you know, you truly respect other people and like, love yourself, because that's an amazing quality, but also it's not serving you. You taking on her stress does not have her stress go away. It's just kind of like our parents. You know, you mentioned your parents and you love and adore them and respect everything they gave you, even though there was a lot of challenges. I think you said addiction or mental challenges, whatever it was, but it's like, hey, what we do as kids, and this is how a lot of it starts. If you go into the NLP world, is like, when your mom is feeling angry or stressed or upset, you start to take that on as if you feeling angry, stressed, depressed, or sad is going to take it away from them.
Yep.
It doesn't work that way. You know, we talked about my daughter, like she came in, she was crying. She wanted mommy. Like I could feel bad. I can say, you know, oh, I'm a horrible mom. I can go into that. But instead I'm like, okay, just take her away, change the environment. She'll be okay in 2 minutes. And it's like, it doesn't serve her if I feel sad about that. Right. So I think understanding that is good. It's like, I don't need to take on her stress and her upset and her anger. I could just be like, wow, isn't that interesting? It's really amazing that like, who do I need? So let's go to the next one. He said, what is it that I need to in order to let it go? And you said a lot of it was reassurance, like that I matter, I'll be okay. And so that's like the whole, like, okay, like, I'm not, this is what I use because I learned this from Tony Robbins. Like, I'm not going to remember this in 10 years. And I'm probably even not going to remember it in a week or a month. Like, it's okay. Like, I'm not a bad person. I need to let go of the fact that I'm tying my mistake of not having the dog on a leash to like who I am. And that means I don't care about people, which is not true. So I need to let go of of this belief, which is a false belief, totally made up, and instead reassure myself like, okay, this is a cool learning, like, of how I can improve. And I don't even think it's improved. Like, okay, next time I'm going to put my dog on a leash. I think it's more about that I can handle people not liking me and being upset with me and be able to still have the best day of my life, even when someone might put it on me. And then I'm almost there, but like, I'm just recapping here. Number four, remembering who you are. So the reason I wanted to say this too, is like, this is very airy fairy. Like we can say someone listening, they're like trying to get to 100 million in assets under management as a financial advisor. Like what the heck, remember who you are. That's all this divine crap and whatever, whatever you believe, source, divine, God, whatever. Like there, if you don't believe there's some energy, like it's like people, okay, I'll tell you one more story. Oh my gosh. And I reserve the right to tell you others, but I was talking to my COO because there was someone, I was considering working with, and there was just a lot of drama. And I realized like in the past, I worked with someone, I hired someone, doesn't matter. I don't want to give too many details. So I don't want to cast rocks at anyone, but basically there was a lot of drama. Like there's a lot of negative things going on in her life. And I still hired her for something. And it turned out horrible. Like everything, like all my ex, like basically my, none of my expectations were met. Everything was like, you know, when she said she was going to get something to me, she did it. Like, it was just like disappointment after disappointment, disappointment after disappointment. And then another opportunity recently to work with someone who also, there was a lot of drama. And Ashley, my COO, was like, don't work with her. Like be the sweetest person on the planet, but like this energy, this drama, this negativity, like she must be attracting that. And I'm not saying anything negative about her, but I don't need to put myself in those positions because there's something, that stuff is real. And if I choose to look past facts and look past things to put myself in those positions where people are attracting that, I'm basically putting it on myself. Right. And so whatever you believe, energy, drama, people who typically have a lot of bad things happening to them oftentimes are causing those things, you know? And so it's like, we must be the, like, we have the power to overcome that stuff and to create like that vibration. This has been like proven, but they can measure this stuff now. And I'm sure you've studied a lot of this where they can show vibrations of our energy when we're angry versus when we're joyous. Like if that could be
David
measured, who is it?
David Hawkins.
Oh my God. So if it could be measured scientifically, like, I don't know how anyone could discount that. Like this is real. The energy is real. And so like attracts like, all the stuff. So whatever you want for your business, I just wanted to bring it home. You know, when I was back starting as a financial advisor, I was very logical. I wasn't very, you know, all about the feelings. And I didn't know anything about law of attraction, all that stuff until I was introduced to it. But it was like, to me, it's been eye-opening to you to be like, wow, I now know it's a fact, but then it's always the, how do I still get there? Right. And so going back to your system, this is amazing, but, I like that, like remembering who you are. And then the last part I think you said is, what was the last part you said? Like to kind of allow the other person, like, what is that step?
Oh, give them the dignity of their discomfort, you know, because let me back up, because the thing that I'd want to support everybody with, logical or not, look for the evidence that there truly are invisible laws. I mean, think about it. I am talking into a metal rectangle. It is not connected to anything. I can hear you. I don't know where you are right now. I'm in Dallas. I'm typically in Tucson. We are surrounded by evidence of invisible power.
Even love, even doubt, even fear. Like there's, it's invisible. Things that we know are true, right?
Yeah. So when you can start stacking the evidence, you know, and Price Pritchard, who wrote the book, U Squared, talks about unseen forces. You start stacking the evidence that there truly is something, I don't care what you call it, but there's some intelligence that's bigger than me, the personality at work. The more we can stack the evidence, make a case for it, right? In my words, the more you feel like there really is something working on your behalf, and you can exhale into the unknown. Because here's the thing about building a business. Building a business is personal growth on steroids, that you have to learn how to be uncomfortable. You have to learn how not to have the answers. You have to know and learn how to be able to listen to something that makes no logical sense. You know, people use the term intuition to describe it. And what are you doing? You're tapping into something unseen. So there's that. And then this whole thing about vibration, one of the things that is so much and people distill it down to the law of attraction. And you mentioned several laws, but most people understand the law of attraction. Right. And there's a lot of conversation around raising your vibration in order to achieve your results. The thing that I want to support people in understanding and knowing is that your dream is asking you, your desire to build your business, whatever your business is, your desire to build your business is number one, that in you that you know you want to make a difference and you can make a difference with this work. And number two, it's something bigger asking you to discover more of who you are created to be. So when we're talking about raising our vibration, when you look at David Hawkins' chart, you know, and he's got shame and guilt at the bottom of the chart, and then it moves up, and anger and fear and desires. I think anger is above desire. And then it moves into the higher realms, which are courage, neutrality, acceptance. Then it moves up to, I think, like love and joy. When you think about those qualities are qualities of a greater degree of maturity. It's not a matter of raising your vibration for the sake of raising your vibration. It's coming into being the person who organizes their life around a quality of courage. Think about that.
Because you can't fake it. You can't fake that.
Because there's an energetic signature for that.
Yeah, you can't right? even... You know, I feel like sometimes you meet people who have done a lot of personal growth. And I did, you know, when I was in the Tony Robbins development, like they've come to the events a lot, but you can tell it's like they're trying to be positive, but they're not like that energy. You could feel the energy of like negativity, even though they sound positive. And I've had that with clients sometimes where I'm like, you know, they really like their language is saying they're positive, but you can just feel this energy of like the negativity, right? Like they're trying and like, you just can't fake that, which is why it's such a journey. I love what you said. I just have to say this again. Building a business is personal growth on steroids. That should be, you got to put that on a Facebook post or Instagram post or something. I might have to quote you on that one. That's really good.
That's great. Your business can only grow to the degree of your own awareness. We have to literally train ourselves. And you know this, Robin, with the work that you do, you have to literally train yourself to accommodate a greater degree of success, a greater degree of abundance. You have to learn how to take your seat at the table of success. I just did a live on the voice of the imposter that who you are today doesn't fit into this dream world, into the world that you want to build. And so your work is to come into identification with it. It's to belong in the world that your dream is asking you to create. And that's this whole process that we're talking about. Right. Vision, seeing yourself, owning it, noticing when you get all crunchy, you know, what am I going to tell myself instead? Who do I want to be? And then from that state of awareness, you can start sourcing ideas and taking actions that are in alignment with what it is that you're wanting to create. And when the results start happening, because they will, because this is law and law works, you're not pushing it away. You're learning how to allow more good in your life. I'll never forget, my husband's a car guy. Right. And so he's always got a really nice car. I've had a functional car. And there came a point in time when he looked at me and he said, "You need a really good car." I'm like, "Okay, what do you have in mind?" And he found this beautiful black convertible Mercedes Rentac. It had a room to it. I mean, and there was a part of me, this is even after years of doing this, there was a part of me that was a little embarrassed about driving that car because of what other people were going to think. I didn't belong in that car when I first got it. Now, it didn't take long before I was in California at the time, before I was zipping up and down the 101 with the top down, right? Nice. You know, singing at the top of my lungs. But it activates that part of us that is not aligned with it. And so our work is to belong in the world that the dream is asking us to develop and to own for ourselves. And that's what it is to grow up that scale of awareness and energy.
Amazing.
So that's a lot.
It's so good. Well, you know, you mentioned this. I'll just mention this one more time before we say goodbye. But before you came on and started recording, you said you listened to the podcast with Jennifer Hudi, which was episode 120 on May 3rd. If you want to go back to how to build a vision-driven business, that's a good episode to pair with this because it's so there's so much to it, but there's different components of it that will really serve you as a business owner. And as you step into that person and starting to really align with your vision, because this is, like you said, it's law, you know, law means it's fact. Law means it's real. Law, it's non-negotiable. Like this is something that happens whether you like it or not. And you could have had a lot of success. Sometimes people have a lot of quote unquote, what on paper looks like success, even without, you don't have to understand it, but without living, you know, in this being, as I think you said, but they don't always have the fulfillment, right? It's like you arrive and you're like, wow, I have all this success. Why do I still feel like crap? Because it's not what you, one, you maybe weren't clear on what you really wanted or why you wanted it. And maybe it was like so many people want the success to prove something of themselves or others. And it's like just getting in that alignment allows you to not just have the success, but have the fulfillment that comes along with it. And I think that all comes back to like, we want the success, we want the numbers, we want the revenue, we want all those things. But in order for us to really embody it and embrace it and feel it, like you have to become that person to who's that person. And in your, like, I like that little example, just because we can envision it of just like, who's the person that's the one, you know, driving the Mercedes, the convertible Mercedes with the top down on the 101 and just living it up, you know, singing at the top of your lungs. Like, it's like you didn't think you were going to become that person. And then you're like, that is the person who doesn't care about what people think. And I'm living the dream and I'm enjoying myself. And you stepped into it before you were ready and think, you know, it's nice having supportive people like your husband. And that brought you to the person that you even meant to. And that's just like a little example, but like, I think all these little examples are sometimes like the biggest lessons.
Yeah,
it's like knowing that there's some dissonance, there's some, you know, feeling of like, oh, this feels like, oh, I'm being showy or ostentatious or whatever. Or what are people going to think? Like, oh, they're going to think like, all I care about is money, you know? And it's like, okay, well, let them think whatever they think.
Well, and so let me jump in real quick with that. Let me think what they're going to think, because I'm going to invite all of us to take it up a notch.
And I know you've got to go, so you can wrap it up and tell them how to find you with this last lesson.
Yes. So it's not just let them think what they're going to think. It's own that when we step into who we're being called to be, we're serving. We're serving them. And so it goes beyond let them think what they're going to think, to truly being the embodiment of what it looks like to answer whatever the divine call is, including having a Mercedes. And so loving them enough to step into what's calling you. So it's an act of love. It's not a dismissal. Oh, they're just going to think what they're going to think. It's, I love you enough to be uncomfortable to step into this in order, number one, to raise the vibration, and number two, show you what's possible. So I'm going to love you in your discomfort if you're uncomfortable with this. And I'm going to do this in order to serve you, because this is what it looks like to follow my guidance. And then I'm going to support you in following yours. So
great. Love it.
Yes. So with that, all right. So my website, FeliciaCersei.com, as I think her name was, you said Jennifer, and I talk about that the foundation of this is vision, really learning how to direct our thinking intentionally, because you're directing it all the time anyway, but to direct it intentionally. I have a whole vision toolkit. It's a vision meditation, vision instructions, a daily practice to then know what to do with the vision. Go to FeliciaCersei.com/ spiritual success. And you can grab that and let me help you really get clear on what is it that you would really love.
Okay. We're going to put that in the show notes. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. That was wonderful. I really appreciate you. And I know, you got to go. Thank you for taking the time, and all of you listening, thank you for showing up and stepping into who you want to become so you can help more people live the dream and give even more love. So thank you so much. And we'll see you next time on Growing Your Financial Business, The Woman's Way. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.